Hi friends, thanks for listening to God Has a Plan for Your Life. My name is Kathy and I'll be your host for today. Today I want to share with you what God's been putting on my heart about the amazing story about Rebecca in the Bible and just a couple of lessons that we can learn from her. So Rebecca in the Bible is one of God's most prominent women in Scripture, and that includes also Sarah. And we can learn about Sarah in the first book of the Bible, which is Genesis. So let's see what goes on with Rebecca. Rebecca was a beautiful and intelligent daughter of Bethuel, the great niece of Abraham, and the sister of Laban. Now we got to remember, my friends, that Rebecca married Isaac, the son promised to Abraham and Sarah. She bore two sons. She had two sons, which was Esau and Jacob. And the nation of Israel came from Jacob, and the line of Esau came from the Edomites. So what can we learn from Rebecca? First of all, we got to go into a deeper revelation to see what the name Rebecca really means. In Hebrew, meaning the name Rebek is to tie firmly or to noose. And that's related to the female. The name suggests that her beauty by means of which men are snared or bound. So, as we already know, Rebecca in the Bible was a woman that was captivated with beauty. She was so beautiful. And she was very attractive in appearance, and people knew that. So, let's see what we can learn from Rebecca. I want you to get out your Bibles and I want you to look at how Isaac started pursuing Rebecca, and that's going to be in the book of Genesis. So remember, after Sarah's death, Abraham sent a servant to the hometown to select a bride for their son Isaac, and the servant had clothing, jewelry, gifts, you know, for the bride and her family. And before the servant left for his journey, he was worried that the woman wouldn't return back with him. And back in those days, you got to remember that it's very important to pray who your spouse or to pray to God of who you want to be your spouse, because sometimes we can choose permissive will. Permissive will is like our will versus God's perfect will. So during that journey, he prayed to God to make him successful and to show kindness to his master. But then he specifically prayed to God and asked God for a sign to know which woman God had chosen for his master's wife. And he said, "Oh Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show me steadfast love to my master Abraham." I want you to go to Genesis chapter 24, verse 12. So basically, he's praying already to God to show him who they should pick. And it says, "Let the young woman to whom I shall say, 'Please let down your jar that I may drink,' and who shall say, 'Drink and I will water your camels,' let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac." Isn't that beautiful? So basically, he was being specific. We got to remember there's a verse in the Bible that says, "You have not because you ask not because you ask amiss." So many times people are just asking for a spouse, but they're not specific. They don't ask, "Lord, I want that spouse to be godly. I don't want that spouse to drink. I don't want them to smoke. I don't want them to be partying in the clubs. I want them to be a Christian. I want them to be honest and faithful and true." And that's what we need to do. So we got to remember that before even the servant finished that prayer, a young woman appeared with a jar on her shoulder, and she went down to spring some water. And the woman was Rebecca, and the servant spoke to her. Now remember, Rebecca's father, brother, agreed for her to leave with the servant to marry Isaac. So, "Behold, I am standing by the spring of the water. Let the virgin who comes out to draw water, to whom I shall say, 'Please, give me a little bit of water from your jar to drink,' and who will say to me, 'Drink, and I will draw for your camels also. So right there, he was being very specific when he was asking God, okay, God, don't just let the woman that gives me water be the wife. Let the one that says that she's going to give me water for the camels too, let her be the one. So because you want to be, you don't want no second guesses. You don't want to be confused, because remember, my friends, confusion is not from God. Confusion is from the devil. And so if you read, like I mentioned before, in Genesis chapter 24, 43 and verse 44, you can read about what happened with Rebekah. Now remember, she was so beautiful that Isaac tried to pass her off as his sister at a time, because he was worried that other men might even be jealous and kill him to claim Rebekah for their own. Isn't that crazy? But God is faithful, my friends, and God's true. So we got to be obedient to what God asks us to do. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 26, verse 7, and I want you to read that. Didn't you know that in Genesis chapter 24, verse 67, Isaac starts declaring his love for Rebekah? The first time in the woman in Bible whose marital love is communicated. Then Isaac brought it into her into the tent of Sarah his mother, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. That's in Genesis chapter 24, verse 67. So remember, my friends, when Rebekah failed to become pregnant after so many years of marriage, Isaac prayed for a child and God heard his prayer. When Rebekah became pregnant with twins, she was concerned because struggling together within her. So she went to inquire of the Lord. And she said, if it is this, why is this happening to me? So she went to inquire of the Lord. And I want you to read that in Genesis chapter 25, verse 22. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your room, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. That's deep right there. Isn't that amazing? So basically it's saying that the older brother was going to basically serve the younger brother. And in today's society, you know, oftentimes the older brother is considered to be the more wiser, the more dominant, the more sophisticated. But here we see that the older one was going to serve the little one. So this is a prophecy that did come to pass, and the brothers' names were Jacob and Esau. So remember, my friends, Esau was a firstborn son, and he had the right over everything. But she still manipulated things for Jacob, the younger, to receive the blessing instead. But that's where we got to be specific when we ask God in our prayers. Yes, you can pray. Yes, it's good to pray. Lord, I pray for my children. I pray for my spouse. I pray for my husband. But be specific. I remember one time going to a church and the lady had prayed for a husband. And the guy began to pursue her and court her. But the guy only had one leg. And remember, people look at the outer appearance, but God judges the heart. And the lady married the guy. But then after a while, she wasn't specific about whether or not she wanted him to be a godly husband, whether or not she wanted him to be faithful and true and honest. And these are things that a lot of spouses may lack, you know, honesty and integrity. They want to go with the flow. They'd rather be with the in crowd or keep up with the Joneses, poor saying. Instead of pleasing God, they're out there pleasing man. And we know that when we begin to please God, God will begin to open up doors that no man can shut. When we begin to please God, he'll put enemies at our footstool, enemies at our feet that were once mean to us or talked behind our back or whatever the case may be. So you want to be on God's side. You want to be a people, God pleaser rather than a people pleaser. So let's begin to get specific about what it is that we're asking God for. And keep in mind, my friends, God's omnipresent. He sees everything, knows everything. He already knows what you're going to ask him for even before you begin to pray. But God longs for us to talk to Him the same way you talk to your best friend, the same way you may talk to your parents if you're a child or a teenager, the same way you may want to long to talk to your spouse. God wants to hear from you. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning of the end. Remember, God doesn't need anything, but He longs to hear from us. He wants us to know that we're seeking after Him, going after Him, following after Him. So those are several things that we can learn from Rebecca. And isn't that beautiful? That's a beautiful story. And when you have time, I want you to read that. So I want to ask you today, what specifically are you asking for? Are you asking just in vague terms? Lord, I pray for a house. Lord, I pray for a job. You got to be specific. You got to say, Lord, I want a 9-to-5 job. I want a job that I'm going to be off on the weekends. Lord, I want a godly marriage. I want my husband or my wife to pray over me every time I go to work and come home from work. I want them to pray over my children. I don't want them to drink, smoke, do drugs. I want them to be in church. I want them to read the word. Start being specific, my friends, because this is a beautiful illustration of how Rebecca was chosen and how he prayed specifically. He didn't just want to be served with water. He asked, let the woman that's supposed to marry give water for my camels too. And that's very specific. And then when she did do that, he was very pleased. So I hope this encourages you today. I know so many of you are out there and you're wondering, Lord, I've been praying. I haven't heard an answer. Keep in mind, my friends, that God answers in three ways. No, yes, or I have something else better for you. Remember, a delayed answer doesn't mean a denied answer. It just means not at this specific time. God sees the end from the beginning. He knows all. He sees the conversations that are going on behind your back. He sees far into the future of if you were to move to a different location. He knows that that's going to be a blessing or a curse for you. So just don't do things on your will. Start praying to God. Get down on your knees and ask God, where do you want me to live, Lord God? Who do you want me to marry? What would you like me to do today? Who would you like me to speak to today? Come on, I'm preaching. Who do you want me to speak to you about today, Lord, so that they can be saved, so that they can know you, so that they can follow you, that they can honor you and read your word? God is a good God. He's a big God. He's a loving God, and He's a just God. And when you die, you're going to have to give an account for everything that you ever did and said. And wouldn't it be so beautiful that you began to spend all that time in prayer, seeking after God? Because that's who's truly going to matter at the end. When you're taking your last breath, it's not going to matter about your title, what position that you have at your job, how much money do you make, what fancy cars do you drive, or the house that you live in. God's not going to ask you that. God's going to ask you, what did you do for my kingdom? What did you do for the brokenhearted? What did you do for the poor? What did you do for the people that were hungry and thirsty and lost and needed prayer? What did you do for them? And wouldn't it be beautiful for God to show you an illustration of your life from the moment of birth till the very last breath that you took in life, and everything that you ever did glorified God, edified God, sanctified God? Isn't that beautiful? God's already sanctified. We need God. God doesn't need us. But He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, past, present, and future, so that we can have eternal salvation. Keep in mind, my friends, that eternal salvation is a promise that God made unto Himself. It's not a promise that we can keep. We're not that holy. We're not that perfect where we have to go through works to try to determine our eternal salvation. The other day, I had a conversation with someone, and they were thinking that you could lose your salvation. And I thought, oh, no, because salvation is not based on our works. You know, salvation is based on the grace and faith of God unto Himself. And salvation is based on our faith. If we trust God, accept Him into His heart, and that we follow Him. Now, it doesn't give us a license to sin. To, Lord, I accept you into my heart, and then the next day go get high and get on drugs. No, God's not like that. God's not an Indian giver. He's not going to give you eternal salvation and take it back. But there are consequences for your actions, for your lifestyle. So everything has a purpose. So use your seconds, minutes, moments, months, years wisely. Because one day you will have to give an account to God. And it's going to be so beautiful on that glorious day when you hear His words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom of heaven." If you never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, today's the best decision you could ever make. I want you to repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I'm a sinner, and I repent of my sins today. I open wide the door of my heart, and I ask you to come in. I turn my back on sin. I turn my back on the devil and demon forces, and I ask you to be Lord of my life. I believe in John 3:16, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sins. And 3 days later, He rose again to give us eternal life. I believe you wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, which is a big book in heaven that has everybody's name who has ever accepted you into their heart. I ask you, Lord God, to help me so that I can pursue you with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you said that prayer, I want you to welcome you into the kingdom of heaven. Congratulations, you just made the best decision of your life. The next step that you need to do is get into a good Bible-believing church that's Holy Ghost Spirit-filled. If you don't know what the Holy Ghost is, I want you to read Acts chapter 2. It talks about who the Holy Spirit is, what He is, and what He can do for us. After you get into a good Bible-believing church, I want you to get into a membership of that church. Go through classes where you can fellowship with other Christians and get into the Word of God, where you read your Word daily. And it's a process. Some people can turn away their lifestyle. If it wasn't pleasing the Lord, they can turn away instantaneously because God can do miracles. Other people, it takes a process. Remember, my friends, we're never going to be perfect, but God is the perfect one, and we serve a perfect one, which is our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ. The Bible says that He holds us in the palms of His hands, and that no one can snatch us out. So once we're in the palm of God's hands, He's protecting us and He's guiding us, but we have to do our part as well. Remember, my friends, that eternal salvation is not based on works. That is a false doctrine. It's based on the faith and the promise that God made into Himself until the end of redemption, until the end of time. God loves you so much, He doesn't want anyone to perish, but He wants you to have eternal, lasting life, which means forever and ever. So be encouraged, my friends. Yesterday's past, today's a new day. If you may have had a bad past, you may have been in prison, you may have been in jail, hooked on drugs, a drug dealer, hooked on dope, hooked on alcohol, whatever the case may be. If you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, you become a new creation in Christ. All those things pass away. Let go of those things that lie behind and press on towards the mark, the goal, the prize. You are a new creation in Christ. You are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. You are blessed coming in and blessed going out. Now we have to get deeply into the Word of God and hear the rhema Word of God of what He has for you. Thank you again for listening to God Has a Plan for Your Life. My name is Kathy, and I am praying for you. I'm praying for open doors that no man can shut. I'm praying for those that have lost their jobs and they're looking for a job. Remember, my friends, pray specifically. Pray for health benefits. Pray for medical insurance. Pray for health insurance. If you're praying for a spouse, pray for a godly spouse that's going to be faithful and honest and true, that's going to be hardworking, that's going to pray over you and your children, that you're going to be able to have a peaceful and loving home. Pray for that environment. Pray for your surroundings. Pray for your spouses. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for your parents. Pray for your job opportunities. God will close a door. So many times God will close a door and people will turn back into their past and start knocking on their past and wanting God to open up that door. And God, don't be questioning God when He puts a period. Don't be questioning God and put a question mark where He puts a period. Once God shuts that door, if it's God's will, He will open that door for you to go somewhere else. If it's not, God will shut that door. So don't try to pry your fingers into that door to get back where God has taken you out from. Come on, man, I'm preaching. I want to thank you so much for listening to God Has a Plan for Your Life. And I just want you to know that I want you to be blessed, be encouraged. You know, you might have had a terrible day yesterday, but praise God, you're alive today. You're breathing, you're seeing, you got your arms and you got your legs and you're breathing, and be thankful that you are alive. Thank you again for listening to God Has a Plan for Your Life. Bye-bye.